Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
It gets even better now as we head out to the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. And we're joined by Odyssey NFL insider Mark Schlereth, host of the Odyssey Original Podcast, the Stinkin' Truth Podcast, covering the entire NFL. Stink, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you, man. I appreciate that.
Well, we're always happy to have you, man. Obviously, we had kind of a quieter draft, 6 picks for the Browns. They didn't have a number one pick. But just I'm always curious, because I'm a nerd, man. I've been watching every pick of the NFL draft since I was, 12. Just wonder, as a guy who was, what was it, a 10th round pick in 1989, do you have the same affinity for the NFL draft that I do?
No, I can't stand it. My experience is most of the kids can't play anyhow. So, yeah, it's always interesting. You know, when I was a rookie, I started, and my second year they drafted the Outland Trophy winner. When I was in Washington, the Outland Trophy winner, and I was like, oh my gosh, because I was paying attention to it at that point, and I was like, oh, they're already trying to replace me. And, you know, it made you nervous until the guy got there, and he was weak as a wet kitten, and I was like, oh, all right, well, that's the Outland Trophy winner? I'm going to be okay on this one. And from that point on, I just quit paying attention. And, you know, honestly, and just off the top of my head, there was one guy that I instantly thought my 12 years of playing, and there was a couple times we didn't have a first-round pick, but there was one time in 12 years of playing where we took somebody in the first round that I instantly knew that guy could play. And that guy was Al Wilson. Other than that, you know, I mean, the opposite was true. I didn't think Heath Shuler could play. And you know, there was a bunch of different dudes that came in. I was like, yeah, whatever. So I just think that transition is really hard. It's probably harder now than it's ever been, simply because, the NFL game and the college game are a lot different. I just have never been that, whatever. Show me you can play, and then I'll pay attention to you.
So what do you think is the biggest cardinal sin teams make in the draft that lead them to draft the wrong guy?
I think the biggest thing, especially with the first rounders, is that you convince yourself that under your expert tutelage, the guy's going to become a football player, and you draft his athletic talent instead. And that is a huge mistake in my mind, and I see teams do it all the time, where the guy is just such an exceptional athlete that they think, well, you know what, when he gets to the NFL and we get him under our kind of tutelage, he's really going to become a great player. And, you know, I think you obviously, to me, you draft football players. Draft a dude that can really play football. And then, you hope that he's a great athlete, or you try to get the ones that are really good football players and are really good athletes. That's why I think after the first round, and I don't know what the stats are, on any of that stuff, but I think after the first round, you're drafting more based on film than you are based on workouts. When they do those pro days, quarterbacks do pro days. You're kidding me, right?
It's the perfect environment.
Yeah, in shorts and a t-shirt, it just is insane to me that we put any weight or merit on that stuff at all. They direct it. He gets his receivers. They put him in the perfect position. They shy away from anything he can't do. I think it's insane. And we look at it as oh, my gosh. I was doing this on my podcast yesterday. I was like, At what point have you ever seen a guy launch one 65 yards in the air for a touchdown? It maybe two or three times a season it happens where somebody throws a Hail Mary for a touchdown. Otherwise, you know, a deep ball comes off a five-step drop with no hitch. So that ball is going to come down between 42 and 47 yards, you know, between the numbers and the sideline. Well, nobody throws one 70 yards for, you know, but here we have, you know, dudes throwing them 70 yards and then doing a backflip afterwards, and we're like, wow, the athleticism. Yeah, that you'll never, ever actually see in an NFL game because nobody throws it. It's just, it's absolutely insane to me how stupid we are, but, you know, we love it. It's exciting, I guess. I don't know. I don't love it, but you do. So
even better when they throw from their knees 70 yards, you know? I mean, come
right.
on. What are we doing here?
Right. It's so stupid, but I know. I mean, again, those are the things about the draft that drive me crazy. But it is. Dude, it's must-see television, and people love it. And, you know, I was locked into the first round and watching that thing. And so, and I watched some of the rest of the draft as well, even though I don't know any of the guys that play, you know, because I did. Like, I'm so busy prepping for NFL games. Saturday I've got games on, but I'm not paying attention to anybody. So, you know, I know the big names, but beyond that, I don't, you know, I don't pay that much attention.
Well, you mentioned the first round. I was locked in for the first round, too. Unfortunately, the Browns didn't have a first-round pick. But the good news is those first-round picks start coming back next year. The Deshaun Watson trade is over with. And, you know, people are already having the conversations, think, about whether or not the Texans won the trade, the Browns won the trade. Obviously, you can't determine that now. But outside of, you know, just people say, well, what would define winning this trade for the Browns? And obviously winning matters, but it's not just winning, right? Like, is it winning a playoff series or playoff game? Is it winning the Super Bowl? Like, how would the Browns win this trade? Sorry for the long-winded question.
No. I just think, like, I think especially when it comes to the quarterback position, if your quarterback just, you know, gets back to playing the way he played before the trade, before all the issues, and is, you know, a Pro Bowl, All-Pro type of quarterback that leads you deep into the playoffs or second round AFC championship game, it doesn't matter what you gave up for him. Nobody cares, right? It just doesn't matter. Like, does anybody piss and moan about Kansas City given, you know, moving from 28 to 10 or whatever they moved from to grab Patrick Mahomes or whatever they gave up? I can't even tell you what they gave up because nobody cares. Nobody cares what Buffalo gave up to move up to 7 to draft Josh Allen. Nobody cares. They care when it doesn't work out, obviously. So if he gets back to form and gives you a chance, you know, to go deep in the playoffs and win a championship, then it doesn't matter. You know, you become the winner of that draft day or that trade, I guess. But beyond that, unless he can get back to playing the way he played early in his career, you guys will be considered the loser of that trade.
Mark Schlereth, Odyssey NFL Insider on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Obviously, we are now post the NFL draft. And with that, before the draft, Stink, one national publication said on paper they thought the Browns had the 14th best roster in the NFL. But that was, I think, like 8th or 9th in the AFC. After the draft, do you consider the Browns to be one of the 7 best teams in the AFC?
I would, because I probably look at rosters differently than everybody else looks at rosters. Show me the team that wins the line of scrimmage, and I'll show you a team that's going to be, you know, going to win 80% of its games. And when I watch the Browns, they win the line of scrimmage. They capture both ends of the line of scrimmage or both sides of the line of scrimmage. Henceforth, the reason they could win 11 games last year while playing 5 different quarterbacks, which is unheard of. So when you can capture the line of scrimmage on both sides, you've got a chance to be a dominant football team. And so, like, I don't look at, oh, they have this receiver and that receiver and this running back, you know, and this tight end. And those things are nice, but I think Jim Harbaugh summed it up really well when he said, hey, man, it's the old, like, offensive line is the only position that doesn't rely on anybody else playing well. But every other position relies on the offensive line to play well. If the O-line plays well, the receivers can get fed, the running backs can have success. You know, the tight ends can get fed. The quarterback's going to stay clean. The quarterback's got an opportunity to be really good. If the O-line stinks, then nobody can have success. And it's 100% true. And so that's – I evaluate it, or I really look at it differently than most people look at it, because, you know, I mean, look at how the draft went. Six quarterbacks taken in the first 12 picks and then a bunch of receivers. The first defensive player wasn't taken until 15th pick overall. And I look at that stuff and go, man, we have elevated that receiver position, the quarterback position. So if you got him on your draft board, a quarterback, you know, he's rated as a 7.1 or whatever, however you grade guys, you know, on a scale of 1 to 10. And you bypassed four or five different defensive players that are graded at a 9.8, but you're like, yeah, but they don't have the overall value that the quarterback does. Well, how much is the overall value of the quarterback if he sucks? Like, how much is that value worth? So, we just get caught up in drafting based upon what we think or what people think is, you know, the value of the position. And I just don't value it the same, I guess, as a lot of people.
Mark, looking to the Browns draft, I know you said you're maybe don't do as much deep dive into that, but they drafted a defensive tackle in the second round, a guard in the third round. The consensus is the generality is, if you're a top 100 pick, you're kind of expected to compete early. Which one of those positions is tougher to be an impact player in, or a at the very least rotational player as a rookie sooner? Is it defensive tackle or guard?
Well, I think it would be probably guard, simply because we don't change those positions. You start and you play 65 plays. Continuity becomes so important, the communication between all the guys, between guard and center, center and tackle, guard and tackle, all that stuff. So there's not, you know, continuity becomes the most important thing there. And so there's not a rotation. Like, you just don't ever see teams using a rotation on the offensive line. It's basically unheard of. But there's always going to be a rotation defensively. It's one of the ways the league really changed. When I first got in the league in 1989, you studied one dude. You know, you played against one dude, maybe two. When I was exiting the league in 2000, they'd have five different guys you had to look at. You know, the rotation and the number of guys and the flip flopping of guys, it was a lot. And so, and the league has kept, you know, they kept that way to where they have, you know, their base formation, their base defense, but then you're not in base very much, so you're in nickel a lot. So then they rotate, you know, not only defensive tackles on you, but they'll slide down and have linebackers rush the edge off the edge, and they'll have defensive ends that line up at three technique. And so there's just you have a plethora of different guys, different body types, different rushers that are constantly playing. So your chances of coming in as a defensive tackle, being what, a second round pick, and or a third round pick, and having an option or having a chance to play, I think you probably find those guys will play a lot. They'll play in rotation.
Stake, when you look around some of these other teams, I know you don't pay attention to a lot of the other rounds, which is totally fine. I don't really either, unless it's the Browns, because we cover them.
Right.
Is there a particular team that you think kind of maybe hit it out of the park with their first and second round picks, maybe?
You always look at teams like what they did, teams that had a couple of picks in the first round, you know, like Chicago. But again, I don't know. Like, I just know the transition from college football to professional football is really hard for a quarterback. And, you know, and I know Caleb Williams said, hey man, to the punter, we're not going to need you very much. Well, that's the kiss of death. I mean, that concerns me a little bit. So I think Philadelphia, you know, Philadelphia is a team, and Howie Roseman has done such a good job of understanding what his team is, understanding what he wants. And so you got what a lot of people thought arguably was the best or most talented corner in football, and he was actively trying to trade up in the draft. I know he called the Broncos about moving up in the draft because, you know, he wanted Mitchell out of Toledo, I think it is. And then he just falls to the Philadelphia Eagles at 17 or whatever it was. And so, you know, that's one of the other things that was interesting. So many offensive players went early that, hell, if you were, you know, 15 on down, you had your choice of some primo edge guys, some primo, you know, pass rushers and DBs. I mean, it was, you had a big time opportunity to get healthy and get good with a defensive player that was probably ranked in the top two or three guys in the draft that didn't get, you know, going until 15. So those things that happen to people, I think are fortunate, because so many guys or so many teams are pushing quarterbacks and receivers up way beyond or way ahead of where they probably should get drafted.
All right, Mark, I know you've got the Nuggets near and dear to your heart, as I saw you tweet about them. Are the Nuggets going to run it back? Are they winning the title this year?
Man, I tell you what, their starting five are probably as good. They play together, and they've got a lot of confidence. I'm concerned a little bit about the length that they're playing. I think, I think Michael Porter Jr. played 41 minutes last night. I think, an injured Murray played 40. They don't have anybody off the bench that has really performed, and their shooting was atrocious, and they were still able, you know, to beat the Lakers in five. So, yeah, I think this next series they have against Minnesota for me is actually like that feels like the Western Conference Finals. But we shall see. I mean, they are super talented and they are really tough minded, they just play for one another. You know, it's, you know, one thing I love about sports, and I don't find this any other place except raising your kids. Is, you know, when you truly, like, when was the last time you truly celebrated the success of somebody else? Because it just doesn't happen very much. Somebody gets promoted in your job, and you're like, oh, hey, congratulations, good for you. And behind the back, you're like, so I worked way harder than I did half his work for him, you know, or whatever, right? There's very little of that in our society other than raising your kids. And that's what I always loved about being part of a team. Like, I never scored a touchdown. I played football for from the time I was 12 years old until the time I was 36, I never scored a touchdown. I never even came close to scoring a touchdown. And yet I celebrated every one. Like, I'm the one that toted it over the goal line, you know. I celebrated the other guy's success that way. And so it just is – I love that about sports, and that's one of the things about championship-quality teams is they celebrate each other. They play for one another, sacrifice for one another. You know, I tell the story all the time. I wouldn't have gotten in the National Football League if my buddy, who was my teammate at Idaho, didn't invite me to his workouts. I didn't have an agent. I was always injured. Switched to the offensive line position. I played defense my whole career. Switched to offensive line my last year. I mean, I had to beg and sign papers to let me play my last year. And I had nothing. Didn't get invited to the combine, nothing. And I showed up to his workouts simply because he invited me. Otherwise, I'm not talking to you guys today if it's not for Marvin Washington. And there's a guy that, you know, just knew what I wanted and selflessly invited me to his workouts. And I kicked his ass in every one of the workouts. And he just kept inviting me. Probably 10 different times he invited me to his workout. And I just begged for a workout from the people that were there working him out. That's how I got in the NFL. And where else do you find that other than sports? And that's what fascinates me about watching the Nuggets, man. They play for one another. They celebrate one another. And that's why they have that championship medal.
Well, we're excited to see the Joker versus Anthony Edwards, who certainly is certainly rising up right now. But, Stink, great stuff as always, buddy. Appreciate everything you've been doing with us these last Tuesdays, man, during the draft. Thank you again, bud.
Yeah, thanks, man.
You got it. You guys.
Oh, yeah.
Did it again.
You just
hung
right up on him, Nick.
I do it all the darn time. That was Odyssey NFL. He was about to say something so nice. I could feel it in my bones. That was Odyssey NFL insider Mark Schlereth, host of the Odyssey Original Podcast, the Stinkin' Truth Podcast, covering the entire NFL. Make sure to follow the podcast wherever you get your podcast. Odyssey NFL insider Mark Schlereth with us just moments ago saying after the draft on paper, he does – rank the Browns as a playoff team right now. We'll get into that, but a lot of interesting stuff has come out about the Browns stadium plans going forward. The Browns still looking at either a Brook Park Dome or stadium renovation, but we have some more of the financial details that come out on it. Also, A few other things, including a kind of a detailed look at both the cost and plans for a massive Berea development as well. Daryl Ryder's now going to join us in just about 15 minutes. We'll talk about the story he just wrote for 92.3thefan.com. You guys got to check it out. A lot on this. We heard a little bit of a smattering of stuff on the morning show we'll react to as well. But I got to say, I like the reason, you know, every time you and I have said something positive about the Browns this offseason, mm-hmm. about, you know, there's a chance here that the roster looks good, we get accused, or anybody on the station gets accused of homerism, which is hilarious to me, because 4 years ago, 5 years ago, people would have clamored for us to say these nice things. Where the Browns are in the trenches, the depth they have, both at starter and in their kind of depth spot, is why I think the Browns have the kind of depth that can repeat what they did last year.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's no question this team should be in the playoffs again next year.
Yeah.
Why would they not be?
Yeah.
They're better everywhere.
I mean, you can – and the excuse is Deshaun. And to me, Deshaun is the difference between competing for a title and not. Him being healthy, though, is not the difference between the Browns being a playoff team and not, because they showed you last year they can do this with different quarterbacks. Because here's the thing, like, we can poo-poo the fact that they had to bench P.J. Walker, and obviously DTR got benched because of injuries. Both those guys had on records. So, like, yeah, I mean, yes, yep, Deshaun played 5 games last year. Yeah, that it feels bleak when you think about the injuries. But for me, if you don't have – if you're not certain your quarterback's going to be healthy, then I look at it and say, have you in some ways done the best you can to quarterback-proof a roster? And obviously the starting five on the offensive line is really strong. When you add to it, one of those three tackles is going to come off the bench and be your swing tackle. Oh, they've got, you know, they've got a couple draft picks in that are kind of in reserve. The kid out of Ohio State, the center last year. You've got Zach Zinter from this year. They just added another kid from Miami that everybody thought was going to get drafted. Mm-hmm. And, oh, yeah, they just signed Brian Allen, who was a starter for 58 games, as a camp body. We'll see if he can crack this roster. Like, oh, and then you get to the defensive side, you're going to be cutting a good player. If the Browns are 100% healthy coming out of camp and going to the regular season, you will be cutting a good quality edge rusher and or defensive tackle, because they have more than 10 guys. They're more than 10 or 12 deep on the defensive line. That's all. Everything else to me is negotiable, right? Like, okay, well, do you have a good backup? All right. Well, so you've quarterback-proofed your roster as much as you possibly can. Now you just hope you chose the right backup quarterback, which is what you did last year when you lucked into Joe Flacco.
Yeah, and also hope you chose the right starting quarterback too, because if the starting quarterback doesn't work out, then we're going to be looking at Jameis Winston for a long time this year.
Yeah, and I'm not – it's so
funny.
But
he's not going to play unless Deshaun's hurt.
Yeah, it's so funny. I understand, and I don't want to say cynicism. I understand any realism about Deshaun's health, but I think they figured out how to win. They're not quite Pittsburgh. Like, they haven't done this for 5 straight years. But you know, like, when you prove that you can win last year, and I know everyone's going to say, "Well, but you beat inferior quarterbacks." Yeah, okay. I totally understand that. The point is, you have the things that impact other quarterbacks. If we just go from how do you match up against the litany of good quarterbacks you're going to play against this year, you have the makings of an elite pass rush again, because it's the same guys plus a few other guys, and then you've got a deep well at both corner and safety. Like, I think you should feel better about this roster going into this year. Again, if we just take the quarterback, we're going to put it over here, because that's obviously – that's the only thing anyone wants to focus on when you do roster rankings like The Athletic did. If the Jets had a better team around Aaron Rodgers, they could have sustained not having Aaron Rodgers all year. That includes a better backup mm-hmm. quarterback. That also includes a better roster around their starting quarterback. When you go to teams like – this team isn't built for Deshaun or bust. In a year it might be. In a year, this whole thing, because of one-year contracts and the cap and all that, if they want to do a soft reset on the cap, next year makes a hell of a lot of sense. This year isn't set up for Deshaun Watson to do really hardly anything. right? He just has to be healthy.
Healthy and just sort of manage the game. He's not going to be asked to do a ton. And you're right, Nick. They provided really everything around him.
So if Deshaun is, and I'm not saying I think he's going to be this. This is a hypothetical. We're talking about this at the end of April, post the draft. But if Deshaun is a game-managing quarterback, this thing is set up to be a playoff team next year. If Deshaun is healthy and more than a game-managing quarterback, it doesn't take a lot to get real creative and start to go down the road of the way this team is built. We should feel more confident because last year they developed a safeties room that they haven't had for 3 years. Last year you saw their cornerback depth tested and you did see a couple young guys kind of pop up, namely Cam Mitchell. So now it feels like you're four deep. Oh, by the way, you just drafted another two kids in your secondary as well. Wide receiver. You have one wide receiver you didn't have last year. The big thing is you don't have Nick Chubb. That's a real thing. But, like, everything else, you have more depth on the O-line going into this year than you did last year. You have a much more established defensive line going into year two than – and by the way, where's that vaunted year two jump that the defense could make? Under Jim Schwartz. That's another thing. So I know it's so gauche and it's trendy right now to just crap all over the Browns. I think they're sitting pretty, man. I think if you put their roster, I think they might be this year's Baltimore, right? Baltimore last year was waiting for Lamar to get healthy. They had paid him a ridiculous contract, at least according to some around the NFL. They had changed the offense wholesale. But if you look at that roster, they had spent the 2 or 3 years previously to it as they were struggling without him. They spent it kind of piecemealing and building up this roster. Then they added Jadavian late. Then they added one or two other players late. And lo and behold, they went out and they were the what is it, top two seed, number one seed in the AFC. Or the second seed in the AFC. Like, I think that's kind of where the Browns are if Deshaun can just even be healthy. That's before we talk about how well he plays. So I think Schlereth is all over it. I don't think you – buy stock in the Browns now. I'll just say it. I know we don't do that because we're worried about some imaginary scoreboard and somebody's going to hit us with this. Hit me with it in October if I'm wrong. That's fine. I'll be wrong on this. I'll be wrong on the positive side for the Browns for the first time in my damn life. Daryl Ryder, brought to you by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store, is going to come on. We're going to welcome him on because we've got to talk about his post that he just put out, his report on the Browns pitching Brook Park.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes. Nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, We often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
Dome and stadium renovation to state lawmakers. And with all the details, Daryl, welcome to the show, buddy.
Hey, guys, how are you?
Well, I mean, I got to be honest with you. I've been thinking about Game 5. I wasn't quite ready for Brown Stadium update today. So I feel ready, but I was caught a little unawares. How about you?
It's been a busy couple of days, but doesn't it feel like the fate of the Cavaliers franchise is at stake tonight here in Game 5, right? Because if they don't win, I don't want to think about what may or may not happen in the future to this organization and this particular team. So hopefully the fans come out in full force tonight. I expect to be a very raucous atmosphere inside Rocket Mortgage Fieldhouse. But, it's been a busy couple of days tracking down the latest developments concerning the Browns stadium situation.
So we will pick your brain on Game 5, which obviously you mentioned a little bit of just some of the massive weight that the next 2 to 3 games carry for the Cavaliers. But obviously there's so much. When you write a story like this, you can't just write the new details. You have to. It's almost like one long ongoing story. Yeah. So specific to the new details that we've learned over the last 24 to 48 hours, what can you tell us about the latest development and the Browns speaking with state lawmakers?
Yeah, so what the Browns are proposing for both the lakefront renovation, which we know is going to cost between $1 and $1.2 billion, and a dome that could be built in Brook Park. Price tag of that is around $2.5 billion. That is with a B dollars. A couple of things. One, the new dome would be built pretty much similar to SoFi Stadium in Los Angeles, which is next to LAX Airport. It would be a lot of it would be built underground comply with FAA height restrictions surrounding airports. So that's one element. The element that folks really, really care about is when it comes to the public-private partnership. What I have learned is that the same proposal for that public-private partnership for the stadium renovation, which is 50-50, is the same that they're looking for should they go the dome route. And that is the Browns would pay 50% of the cost, and then the other 50% would come through public funding. And that public funding, I've learned, would be, at least right now, the way that the Browns have kind of proposed it hypothetically, 25% coming from the state of Ohio, and then the other 25% shared between local municipalities and the county. So that's an important element. Another important element regarding taxes, the team is not proposing any new local taxation. I have been told that there is some contemplation maybe about a hotel tax, but can stress there that's a contemplation. They're just throwing ideas around right now. This thing is nowhere near getting close to the finish line. This is just where they're at right now in their discussions. I've spoke to multiple folks down in Columbus who have described these talks to me as preliminary, both on as well as off the record. This is the early stages of this thing. Nobody feels like the Browns are trying to slip one past the goalie here and rob the bank. This is a very deliberative process, and my understanding from the folks that I've talked to, pretty much every level, that, you know, they like to see this thing get resolved as soon as possible, but also at the same time, they feel good about the process that the Browns have taken throughout these discussions.
Daryl, they're talking about this 50-50 split, which would be, you know, half between the team and half between the public, right? So
correct.
With that being said, is that accurate, Daryl?
Yes, that is.
Okay, so with that being said, does that make it more or less likely for this stadium to happen?
Well, I don't know that it tilts it either way. I think that what will ultimately be the deciding factor for the Browns will be just, you know, how far the development around the facility can happen. You know, there for the Brook Park project, yes, they are proposing an entertainment district that would include hotels and some retail and you know, bars and restaurants and things like that. Right now, that doesn't exist with Cleveland Brown Stadium. There is nothing there. The city of Cleveland has been drawing beautiful lakefront blueprints since the 1970s about developing that area. Yet nothing has really moved forward. A positive sign is the city of Cleveland did secure $20 million to go toward the land bridge project that, you know, is going to cost significantly more than that. But there's been no real concrete steps forward about developing the area around the stadium other than, again, renderings and beautiful pictures for everybody to ooh and ah and say, hey, wouldn't that be great if this gets done? But nothing has really moved forward. So, you know, the Browns are really trying to drive additional development beyond just whether it's renovating a stadium or building a brand new dome in Brook Park.
We do love us some pretty pictures here, Daryl. So you mentioned the land bridge. Obviously, it was a big victory when it seemed like that's going into the budget. I can't remember the timeline on that. And yet, you mentioned there's still a lot more money to go there. Is it as simple as if the land bridge doesn't – if that funding doesn't come all together and that if that doesn't get built, then – any plans for the lakefront would go the way of the dodo?
I wouldn't say that that is absolute, Nick, but I think that that would skew the decision-making process significantly. And the other part of this, too, is my understanding is with the Brook Park Dome that the entertainment district, there, for lack of a better name for it, okay, the additional development with the dome, that would be largely privately built. So they're, you know, they're not seeking public money to build that aspect of the project. And then there's the whole Berea project too, which we can get into as well, that includes a significant private investment. But I do feel like the land bridge is an important component, as is the development surrounding Cleveland Brown Stadium and turning that from just a bunch of concrete parking lots into a mixed-use area that can be utilized year-round by everybody.
So I'm glad that you, you've led us to water here on the Berea project. Can you walk us through what the Berea project is, the cost, and where it would be located at?
So in recent years, the Browns have been acquiring parcels of land adjacent to their training complex on Lou Groza Boulevard. On that land, about 16 acres worth, the team would like to build a hotel, a university hospital sports medicine facility, some apartments, a dormitory for Baldwin-Wallace University, restaurants, a parking garage, as well as a new community rec center for the city of Berea and adjacent municipalities, and a multi-use community field that would, again, be used for public the cost is around $195 million, with $180 million of that in private investment. I was able to obtain a copy of the application that the city of Berea sent to state lawmakers requesting $15 million in state funding from the capital budget, which lawmakers are working on right now. To go towards the new community rec center as well as multi-use community field. It is an extensive, ambitious project that the Haslam Sports Group has been working years upon years to try and put together. We now have a price tag for it. We have an idea of how much of a private commitment is, and it's substantial. Again, $180 million in private money at least. And again, they're only seeking $15 million to come from the state, but that's for the Berea Rec Center and a community field. So when that gets done, and they're anticipating that being about an 18-month construction project there out in Berea, it's going to be a magnificent addition for that community.
Now, Daryl, I just want to get back to the proposed dome renderings. Have you – you don't have to tell us what it looks like because I know this top double top secret and all that.
Well, I'll just tell you it's going to be in the ground. A lot of it's going to be in the ground.
I just want to know if you've snuck a peek. I don't need a description.
I can't tell you that. I can't tell you that. you tried to get the tiger out of the cage. I know. You tried to get the tiger out of the cage. I can't tell you what I may or may not have seen, but what I will tell folks is – That similar to SoFi Stadium as far as from a construction standpoint, not necessarily from a look standpoint, a lot of it's going to be in ground, so it's not going to be like towering over that particular area. And by the way, they have been doing, not the Browns, the current owners of that land, and this is actually helpful, though, to the Browns if they end up there in Brook Park. The current owners of that land, that 176 acres, they've been doing site prep since acquiring that land. So they have demolished buildings. They have been cleaning up the site. So if the Browns do choose to build in Brook Park, there should not be many delays as far as site preparation go.
It sure sounds like you've got like three or four FBI guys around you about what you can and cannot comment on. Again, blink twice if you're in danger. Real quick before we let you go, Daryl, what prediction do you have for Game 5?
I think the Cavaliers win tonight. I think it goes back to Orlando. I don't know that they win in Orlando. I'm worried that this thing goes 7. But I do feel like the Cavs come out, handle their business tonight. They seem to have a pretty good approach and attitude. Since those two blowout losses in Orlando, that they just wipe the slate clean, they forget about it. They handled their home business on their floor. We as Cavaliers handled ours, and if we continue to do that, we will win the series. That's the message coming out of the organization right now.
Daryl, great stuff, buddy, especially on the piece about Brook Park and the stadium renovations and all this, man. Really great stuff. Appreciate you. Thank you for your time.
You bet. Enjoy Game 5 tonight, guys.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.